Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord again, this beautiful autumn day. But let's say another word of prayer before we look into God's word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being with us today. Thank you, Lord, that we can call you our Father through your Son. And Lord, we come to you just asking, as we have been worshiping you this morning, to do that work in us which you have seen fit to start, and we trust you to be faithful to see it through to the end, that your name may be glorified in us and your name may be made famous here through this church. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So today the Lord put it on my heart to talk to you about patience. And you know, I can recall a time when I think I was a little bit heated about something, and I called up the school that I was attending at the time, and this was actually a Christian school, and the lady who answered the phone, basically all she said to me was yes, sir. I kept saying something, and then she'd say, yes, sir. And then I'd say something else, and she would say, yes, sir. And by the end of this phone conversation, I felt so respected that whatever I was heated about at the beginning had just dispersed, and it was gone. And I felt awful afterwards. After hanging up the phone, I was like, I was not giving a good testimony. That lady just gave an awesome testimony to Christ right there, you know? And it's true what the words of wisdom say, that a gentle answer turns away wrath, right? And that lady was exemplifying a patience with me that I was not having with her at all. But so many times we find ourselves in these circumstances in our daily lives where we're being tested in this way. You know, how will we respond to what we're receiving, whether it's circumstances or words from somebody else, whatever it is. Sometimes it's something that we planned on going a certain way and it has not gone that way. Now it's taking a lot more time, and so we're challenged by that. You know, we're doing something on our computer and we're expecting this to, you know, computers speed things up, right? But then our computer shuts down and doesn't update, and we have to wait 30 minutes. And that wasn't what we planned on. Or we leave early for work, and we think we're going to get there early, get an early start, get some things going, and we wind up hitting some traffic, and somehow it takes us longer to get to work than it's ever taken us before. And but these are the circumstances that challenge us, where we're forced to wait, and what do we do with that waiting? Me personally, you know, I think the Lord put this on my heart as much for me as for you today, because I've been challenged by this just in trying to care for our son. You know, you think that you're a patient person, maybe, and then along come some circumstances that, you know, test that, and you find out, I'm not as patient as I thought I was, you know? And I'm realizing that with our son, because he doesn't know any better about what he's doing. You know, when he cries, when he wakes up, you know, that we're being deprived of sleep and these sorts of things sometimes. But I can, in those moments, you know, lose patience when I shouldn't. And I'm realizing I'm in this role as a father that I'm supposed to be playing the role of the Lord, so to speak, here. You know, he's so patient with us. I'm supposed to be showing this to my son in the way that I'm caring for him. And sometimes I'm failing in that. But just to, I like this quote from a Puritan called George Swinnock. He says, "To lengthen my patience is the best way to shorten my troubles. Isn't that true? We wind up creating more trouble for ourselves with when we don't exercise patience. But if we look at the life of Moses, a couple of snapshots, one at the beginning, one at the end. So he's a very godly man. We know it's said of him in Numbers 12:3. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. But we know that early on in his life, he takes matters into his own hands, he murders an Egyptian, and then he winds up having to flee. Right? He was not patient at that moment. And then later on, Moses, he's done all sorts of miraculous things, following the Lord, leading God's people, and then he's told by God that he needs to speak to the rock, and instead he strikes the rock in anger because he's so frustrated with the Israelites, and there are consequences to this, but that was done in anger as well, not patient at that moment. So I think just looking at even Moses as an example, we can see that we can be very godly people, and yet we can fail in this area of patience, and that we need patience throughout our lives in all different circumstances. Moses was tested in all different places in his lives, and we will be as well. But the very best person for us to learn patience from is the Lord Jesus. And so let's just take a look at some little snippets of scripture and see if we can learn together something about patience from the Lord. So we're just going to go through these three themes here that I see in Scripture. The first is that we would heed the command to be patient. We're actually commanded this in Scripture. Second, that we would worship Christ, the all-patient one. And then thirdly, that we would grow in patience. So first, heed the command to be patient. Now, what does that word patient really mean? You know, if we look at the original language, what is the Bible really talking about when we see patience in the Bible? There's a number of spots where, you know, there's attributes of a godly person listed, and patience is among them. What does that word mean? So the Greek word most commonly used is macrothumia, not macarena, it's macrothumia. So macros meaning long, and then thumos meaning passion or anger. So this is, you're basically what it's literally saying is that you're taking a long time to get angry. It takes you a long time to get there. Now, parallel to this is actually the Hebrew language as well in the Old Testament, where literally, instead of one compound word like in the Greek, there's two words, and it's meaning literally the same thing, slow to anger. So we read this in Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. And he, God, passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. So this is the perhaps negative aspect of patience, where you're looking at it takes you a long time to get to that place where you're being angry. But, you know, God knows us so well, and it's interesting that he wrote this right into the language of the Bible, right? He knows that anger is like our typical response, you know, for whatever the reason, that when we're not being patient, that's what we default to. But secondly, beyond the language, patience is listed as a fruit of God's Spirit. You know, many of you have probably memorized Galatians 5:22, you know, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and the list goes on. So patience is one of those fruit that the Spirit of God has to bear in us. You know, we can't just in and of ourselves kind of make ourselves more patient. And I think probably, you know, we might think sometimes that we don't really need to be patient. It's not something that our culture treasures. It's not something that the secular world necessarily values. But we do read in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, "And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone." Patient with everyone, wow, okay. Well, that's actually an imperative statement. We're actually told we need to be patient right there with everyone. And then also in Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." And patience is well connected with love in that verse, because we know that 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that love chapter, it starts off like that in verse 4. The very first thing that's said about love and the character of God's love is that love is patient. So when we're not being patient, we're actually not being loving. And when we're not loving, we know that we're actually sinning. And that really kind of hit home for me, you know, that this is actually something wrong. I need to be confessing when this happens, you know, to the Lord. I can't just kind of gloss over it. You know, that's kind of a worldly way of dealing with it. But if we ask ourselves, do we want to be patient? Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes, you know, we might just be done waiting for whatever the reason, and we just kind of want to, this is what I'm going to do. I don't want to wait on this anymore. You know, I told my manager a million times, I'm just going to execute this, even though I know he's not going to like it. Or we think we shouldn't have to wait. We think that we're entitled to something, you know, in life or in the circumstances. I'm going to take this and take it for myself. And, you know, most of the time when we're impatient, we're being selfish. That's at the root of it. And we can even be believing a lie such that we might think, if I don't take this action now, if I don't act immediately, somehow I'm going to be missing out. And that's actually a lack of trust in the Lord. We know that 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, this is the New King James Version, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." So I think that trust in the Lord, that he's advocating for us, can help us in that area where we're thinking we have to rush in and take action, when really the Lord may just want to grow that fruit of patience in us until such time as he gives us what we're waiting upon. So we need to let God's command discern whether our heart is in the right place over these things. When we're told to be patient, are we being patient or are we not? So we know what patience is, but in what manner then is patience connected to Christ? So let's read together 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. I'll just give you a couple minutes to get there if you want to look that up. First Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." So when this passage talks about Christ's immense patience. It says literally that he is all patient. Now that's quite a statement about Christ. So Jesus, he's really the all-patient one. And Jesus, he displayed his patience here with Paul. Paul is describing how terrible he was. And, you know, you and I, he's been patient with us as well, hasn't he? And we came from sin, we came from darkness, but he's displayed his patience to us as well as Paul, hasn't he? Now, God is also patient with people who don't even know him. It says in Romans 9:22, "What if God, choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath prepared for destruction?" So he's even patient with the people that are blatantly against him in their sin. Now, sometimes we're not patient like that, but we can see the perfection in Christ and in our God. And we also learn from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, that God has also displayed his patience in the past. If we look historically at things that happened in the Bible, so this passage reads, "After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but of the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Now, there's a lot of things in that passage we're not going to address, but the point is that God was waiting patiently in the times of Noah. We know that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and there was this 100-year period where God was waiting before he sent that flood. And that was part of God's patience with those people. But then if we just think about Christ's life, all that he did in this world, we realize that he was perfect in patience. You know, he grew up in this world as a man, even though he's God. And he didn't use the fact that he was God to just, you know, make everything easier for him. He taught his disciples, right? And if any of you are teachers and you teach something and they don't seem to get it, and then they still don't seem to get it, and then they don't get it, and then they still don't seem to get it, this can get kind of, you can get impatient. You know, so he was with these disciples who he loved and who he was investing in, but they really didn't seem to understand who he was, why he was here, what he was doing. He was patient with them. And then he came to save these people who had been set apart by God, the Jews. And they were well educated in the scripture. Should they not have welcomed him and called him their Lord and their God? And yet they didn't. But he was patient with them. Sometimes he spoke hard words to them that they needed to hear, but he was patient with them. And then he was also, you know, despised by all manner of leaders. You know, even those high up in the Roman culture rejected him. Rejection takes patience, doesn't it? And then he was literally hit, spit upon, his possessions were taken, he was robbed of what was his, and then he was killed. You know, patience, it requires a dying to ourselves. Christ literally died. But when we come to the point where we need to be patient, we need to die to whatever it is that is holding us back from patience with that person, with that circumstance, And Christ did that perfectly, even unto the cross. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance?" So the very fact that God is patient with us, with people, it's meant to draw us to him. So Jesus, he's the only perfect patient person. He's not just the example of our patience, but he's the source of our patience. We can actually come to him, tell him that we haven't been patient, and he can give us that patience with other people, that slowness to anger that he has with us, to then give that to other people. And right in that moment even, we can ask him. So the commands of God reveal that we are to be patient, and Christ is perfectly patient. But now, how do we grow more patient in our lives? And I think the first answer we've already talked about a bit, and it's simply that we would ask the Lord for that patience. It's a fruit of his Spirit. We need more of his Spirit in that moment. Sometimes I can recall when I have known I'm going to be facing a difficult person, a difficult circumstance in a day, and I have gone to the Lord in the morning and said, "Lord, can you help me with this?" You know, and oftentimes, you know, I've come to the end of that day and I've realized, you know what, that the Lord did that. It wasn't as horrible as I thought, you know. He completely changed that person's attitude or those circumstances or whatever it was, but he answered those prayers. He honored them. You know, we can trust him to be faithful in that. And just as much, you know, there's times when I've realized I've come to the end of a day and maybe I didn't pray about something I really realized I should have. And I realize it did not go well. And I didn't give a good testimony that day. But, you know, the Lord, he's faithful and he's patient even with our impatience, you know, and we can take that back to him and he will restore us, heal us, and continue to use us for his glory. Now, some do caution against, you know, asking the Lord for patience or some of these things. Because then, you know, they say God's going to give you, you know, some really difficult circumstances and you won't be able to handle it. But we don't need to fear that. We don't need to fear that he's going to give us something like that. We know from his word that he says, you know, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man, you know, and that he is faithful in the midst of those temptations. And he's a good father, right, who knows how to give good gifts. If he gives us some difficult circumstances, he'll also give us the spiritual gift to walk through those circumstances. And he'll bring about in us and in those circumstances what he desires. He's faithful, he's powerful, he's good. You know, so we don't need to fear what we're asking him for. Now, I think another verse that helps us in this area is just Jesus' words on the cross. As he was dying, some of his words were, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And I think this verse helps us in a number of ways, because sometimes we assume somebody's doing something wrong intentionally, but we don't really know the intention of their hearts, right? But what if we were to assume that they were doing this in ignorance, they don't really know, you know? And this seems to be somewhat what Jesus is saying here, you know, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And he's praying for them, right? What if we were to take those opportunities where we're getting heated about something and just pray for that person. Maybe that's internally what the response that the Lord would have us make at that moment. And I think, you know, this verse even kind of helps me in traffic sometimes, because I'm driving a lot on the road, and I do like field service. So sometimes I'm driving for a couple hours to a destination and back again. But you see some crazy stuff sometimes that you just don't know how to explain. And so if I assume that this driver is, you know, doing something intentionally to be mean to me, I would respond in one way. But if I assume maybe they're just, you know, they don't know what's going on, maybe they're having a health issue, something's going on with their car, I don't know, you know, and then just say a prayer for them, God bless them and protect them, you know, and try to scoot out of the way. It's a totally different, you know, response. And I think that that's part of how the Lord would have us please him in those circumstances. You know, no one else is witnessing that. Maybe I'm in the car alone, but this is a testimony to the Lord. Give him the glory for that moment, you know. And then another verse that I think helps us is Psalm 37, verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. So I think this helps in a sense that, well, what if that person really does have a wicked scheme? They're trying to do something mean to me. You know, that tractor trailer really was trying to swing his rear end and smack the front of my vehicle. You know, what about that circumstance? Well, this is saying, be still before the Lord, wait patiently for him. And the implication is of desire. We're waiting longingly for the Lord. So we're looking beyond the circumstances here, and we're looking to, well, the Lord is coming again. You know, this is his world. We are his people. And all things will be made right in his time. So we're exercising patience because of that anticipation of what the Lord's going to do, making all things right and setting them to be in his good order. And then lastly, another help for us in this area, 2 Peter 3:9. Similarly, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So there were those at that time who were mocking the Lord's second coming and saying that he just wasn't coming, but that's not true. The Lord is coming, and he's going to come in his own time. You know, so our understanding of what's slow to him might not actually be slow. And it says right in this verse that he's actually being patient. His patience in his heart, his love in his heart toward people who don't even know him, is part of why he's delaying his coming. And in the meantime, he desires people to come to him in repentance, that they would not perish. And that's part of the work and the call that he has on our lives. And we do say stuff in Christian circles sometimes like, you know, I'm ready for the Lord to come. But usually it's more rooted in we're kind of done with whatever circumstance we're in, and we'd like it just to end. And it can be kind of a selfish thing. But there is an anticipation that's positive. We want to say, you know, come Lord Jesus, with a reverent attitude of, you know, not my will, but your will be done, that it's in his perfect timing. And we're relinquishing any reins of control to his will and his purpose in that. So there are two responses I believe that the Lord would have us make to him today. There's one for those who don't know the Lord Jesus, and there's one for those who do know the Lord. So if you don't know the Lord, realize that he has been and is being patient with you. That's part of who he is. And his patience, it's part of his love, and part of his love specifically towards you. And God's patience with you is not a reason to delay giving your life to Christ. It's a motivation to do so. You're entrusting your life to the all-patient one, to the one who will always be patient with you. And you're not losing out on anything. What you're gaining is you're gaining an all-patient Savior with you. You're gaining an all-patient Father with you. And those are excellent gifts that will last to eternity. So I plead with you that you would give your heart to the Lord because of his patience. And then for those of us who know the Lord, we're certainly not what we once were. We came from worse tempers than what we presently have, knowing the Lord now. We've grown in our patience. But this patience of the Lord, if you exercise it, it stands out in our culture. And I think especially here in New England, you know, there's a rush and a busy sort of underlying mentality to the culture. And when you're patient, you're putting on display something of the Lord, something of his love that makes that love tangible and undeniable. And just like that lady did with me, you know, convict me of my wrongdoing, we bring that same conviction when we're patient with people. So let's say a prayer together, and we'll just ask the Lord to do his work further in us in this area of patience. Heavenly Father, we're just in awe of the patience that you have exercised towards us. In your Son Jesus, we see it in all that he went through. And even in our own lives, Lord, what you have been patient with, what you have tolerated, also that you could win us over to yourself and that you could make us recipients of the undeserved favor we have in Christ. But Lord, we come before you asking you to give us what we do not have, even as we were singing and asking you to pour out more of yourself upon us. Lord, we just ask that you would make us more patient people. And Lord, that we would be able to give the testimony to those we interact with of your perfect patience, of your love, that they may see it and be unable to deny who you are and what you have done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.